night I told a stranger all about you. They smiled patiently with this.
I have a very special guest for us tonight. I'm going to be speaking with Stuart Swerdlow. He's a gifted medical intuitive. He's a clairvoyant that has the ability to see auric fields and read personal archetypes through DNA sequences. He has spent several years in service to the U.S. and foreign government agencies and special interest groups due to his very unique DNA structure of his own, which we're going to get into. His mind and body were used for genetic and mind control experiments, which led to severe illness, broken relationships, and premature Kundalini activation. Stuart is an amazing fellow, and we're about to hear a most amazing tale about galactic history and how it relates to Earth politics today. So welcome, Stuart.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
It's very good to have you here. You are my first guest of the new season, and I'm very excited.
Well, I'm very honored.
I myself have been researching the Illuminati and things of this nature for quite some time, and I have come to, an extraterrestrial source to our governments. Now, for an example, I noticed that the Freemasonic lodges worshipped a star, the pentagram, which was equated to the star Sirius. I realized that the Egyptian hieroglyph for Sirius was an obelisk, a dome, and a pentagram, which are the very things I see downtown, as if we have a life-size hieroglyph to Sirius. And all of these connections started to come together with the different extraterrestrial races. I once had Dr. Sala on talking about the 57 races. I'm wondering if there is extraterrestrial creation to the politics on planet Earth.
Well, absolutely. In fact, it would not be life on Earth if it were not for some alien extraterrestrial involvement eons ago. And in fact, I write about this in my Blue Blood, True Blood book about how the Earth was colonized first by reptilian beings who actually drove the moon into orbit around the Earth and colonized the continent which we now refer to as Lemuria. And the moon is really a hollow object. It's artificial. If you were to send a sonic resonance off of the moon, it would ping like a hollow object instead of thumping like a solid object.
Right.
And so these beings, these reptilian androgynous beings, colonized the Earth. And it wasn't until millennia after that that human beings came to colonize the Earth as well. That led to several battles, wars. Humans destroyed the reptilian continent, which sank beneath the Pacific Ocean. And to make a long story short, the humans, which existed in the Atlantean continent, destroyed themselves as well. And the remnants that were left on the surface were then hybridized by the reptilians and created in what is known as Sumeria, a hybrid race, which went on to become the Khazars in the Caucasus Mountains and spread into Europe, Asia, and the Middle East and created civilizations there. And they blended with the remnants of humanity and created what has become known as the Illuminati families. And there are 13 main Illuminati families which control the Earth right now. And they are basically reptilian-human hybrids.
Wow. Now, does this DNA structure give them some sort of... It seems that there's been this agenda going on for a long, long time, as if they had some messages from on high that was keeping this thing moving forward, because obviously these family members die off.
Correct. They worship the three-horned god, which is their lower astral entity deity. And that is why when you see families like the Bush family, the Windsor family, giving a salute on television, they always use that devil salute. And sometimes they use three fingers in the air. And all of that represents the three-horned reptilian god that they worship in what we would consider to be satanic cults.
Right. So maybe we could examine the ideas of these astral entities as opposed to, say, alien entities.
Well, the reptilian race does have its origin in the lower astral realm, and then they became physical, and that is a very old story that goes back millions of years. In fact, it is not really known who created the reptilian race, except it's known they're not native to this space-time. They actually come from somewhere else.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so they perform all kinds of ritual ceremonies to invoke these astral entities. They create sexual slaves to perform in these rituals, and they have sacrifice, etc. And that energy invokes the energies that they need to accomplish their deeds across the earth.
Wow.
9/11, for example, was a global ritual that created an energy for them to consolidate their power on the face of the earth. They're coming to the end of their agenda, where they want to consolidate their power, have a global government, global army. And what we're seeing now in Central Asia and elsewhere is their efforts to eliminate any opposition to them and consolidate their power.
Yeah, it seems like they have a real beef with the Tibetans.
Well, that's just one of many.
Right.
Of course, if you look at the ancestry and cultures of many of these civilizations that are supposedly against the Illuminati, they all have their different origins from different alien interventions at different times on the Earth. And so we see, for example, in Africa, the Illuminati are trying to eliminate the black Africans through disease, war, famine, everything they can think of to eliminate them.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. And we see that here in North America, the elimination of the native peoples. We see the elimination of native peoples all over the earth.
Yes.
Because they have a greater understanding and connection to God mind, the earth energies, and they don't want, the Illuminati don't want this to be spread, so they are eliminating those cultures.
Now, I was speaking with a Kabbalist architect that worked on the World Trade, specifically on the Twin Towers. And he was fired for going against the particular symbolism they were trying to inculcate in those buildings. The Kabbalists are based from the Hebrew. How does that all fit into this picture?
Well, if you trace the origins of that mysticism, you will actually find that it goes back to ancient Egypt in the mystery schools. And that is also connected to the mystery schools of Sumer and Mesopotamia. And they also had their own ritual belief system. The Twin Towers had many, many deep symbolisms to them. I believe they were built and designed to be destroyed back in 1973 when they were first created.
Yes.
The Twin Towers represents the twin or genetics of the Illuminati, the reptilian and mammalian twin genetics. They were also phallic symbols. They also represented a twinning programming. There was a lot of deep layers of symbolism in those towers.
Yeah, I went around this nation and I filmed all of the phallic symbols I could find. I found penises and vaginas all over the place, much like Target's logo being the sun sign, a point within a circle.
Yes, correct.
And I was always curious about these sexual symbols. I mean, they're out in front of City Hall.
Well, everywhere you go where you see a dome and a spire or a tower, that is a sexual symbol.
And what is it about sex that's so important to them?
Well, basically, the sexual energy is what they use to create their power base. That's why they're in the process of creating sexual slaves for programming, etc., and ritual, because when they perform these rituals, it's really not about sex per se. It's about a formula of manifesting energy, and then they can take that energy and apply it to an event that will help them with their control system.
That would explain Madonna.
Well, she and Britney Spears and all of these what I call programming icons in the public are designed to trigger certain responses in the general public who have related programming to those people.
Right, well, let's go off world a little bit more. We talked about the moon being a base that had been brought here. Now, I know that Mars's moons didn't arrive, or at least weren't spotted from Earth, until 1877.
Right.
Even though we'd been looking at them. Now, numerous Phobos satellites that go up to photograph Phobos have just vanished, every one of them.
Correct, especially the Soviet spacecraft back in the 80s that actually filmed one of the moons of Mars turning, facing the spacecraft and firing something.
Really?
That then destroyed the Soviet spacecraft. And I remember back in the late 80s, I was contacted by a Soviet cosmonaut, Marina Popovich, who asked me if I knew why the Soviet spacecraft were destroyed. And both of the moons of Mars are artificial. They are not natural objects.
I would believe that.
And we also know that Mars shows evidence of a previous civilization. There are pyramids, there's the face on Mars. Everything that we've been told about that planet is not true. It actually does have an atmosphere. It used to have an ocean, many oceans. To this very day, you can see with a telescope that there are seasons where the polar ice caps start to melt, and then there's a green belt that forms at both the north and south hemispheres.
And they're doing a lot to keep that from the public eye.
That's correct. And even the moon has a basic atmosphere. And, of course, the moon does not spin in space like a natural object would spin. It faces only one side to the Earth, like a ship that is parked in orbit.
So now the Cassini satellite, just on 9-1-1 of this year in September, made another pass by Iapetus.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be a Death Star of ancient origin. Has there been many warfares? Has there been, how did we end up where we are today? Do you know that?
Well, you know, the universe is actually a very hostile place. There are many, many civilizations. You know, our galaxy alone has an estimated 100 billion stars. And then there's an estimated 100 billion galaxies in the physical universe. And then you can multiply that by infinite universes. So when you do the math, if there's even less than 0.1% of all of those stars that have an intelligent civilization, even with that small percentage, that would be millions and millions of civilizations out there.
Absolutely.
So we're absolutely not alone.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of those civilizations are warring with each other, and the planets and moons in our solar system show evidence of the destruction of previous wars that have been that have happened out in space. And the surface of the moon is littered with destroyed vehicles and bases that have been blown apart.
Yes, and robot heads.
All kinds of things out there. You can even, with a good telescope on a full moon, on a clear night, and if you train your telescope to any crater, you will see evidence of building, tubes running into the ground, large objects being constructed even right now.
So are humans, Earth humans, on the moon and on Mars at this time?
There are human beings on those bodies, but I will tell you that all of them are of what you'd call blonde hair, blue eye genetics. They do not allow other genetics off-world.
Now, you know, Lisa Nowak just all of a sudden had a freak out coming back from space and then making her diapered trip from Houston to Orlando.
Yeah.
You got any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, there again, that is what I write a lot about mind control and programming, and I say that she showed a lot of evidence of that in her experience at her event during that time. And they're keeping that all quiet. They're not really revealing information about that.
No.
And most of the so-called astronauts that go up into space are completely controlled. They're mind controlled. There have been a few of them in the past that are coming forward to say that there is an alien presence out there that the government is keeping secret.
There would be no doubt about that.
Yeah, and there's there are many films. For example, years ago there was a show on television that actually showed a film taken by a NASA spacecraft that was orbiting the Earth, where it showed a UFO hovering over a cloud-covered area and then suddenly zooming away as a missile, obviously launched from the Earth towards this object, pierced the clouds and came towards the object, and then this ship sped away.
I have seen that.
Yeah. So the evidence is out there, and it comes from NASA itself. But, you know, my opinion is, and what I know, is that NASA is really a front. It's for public consumption only. The real space program has been going on for many decades behind the scenes and is much more advanced than they allow the public to know.
Well, I'll tell you, just 2 months ago, I was driving out to Portland, Oregon, and on my way, as I was passing Ogden, Utah, I had a giant flying boomerang fly over the car. I tried to film it, but I didn't remove my camera lens. Now, something like that I thought was high military.
Yeah. You know, most of the vehicles that are seen on the Earth now, I would have to say a good 90% of them are from here. A lot of people have known about Area 51 in Nevada, which was basically a location where they retrofitted and redesigned alien craft for human use and design. That's where the stealth bomber came from, etc. But much of that has been relocated to an area on the state line between Utah and Colorado, western Colorado, eastern Utah. That is the new type of Area 51 location that's been built. And things have been transferred for about the last 10 years. Area 51 now is into other type of experimentation.
Wow. Well, on these ceremonies and these ideas that what these people are doing, the Illuminati, that is, and the concept of igniting Jupiter keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought perhaps the String of Pearls event might do this. Do you think this is for show, or you know, to bring everybody into an idea of an Armageddon or apocalypse, or is this something that they need to do?
No, the String of Pearls back in 93 or 4, those 22 pieces that hit Jupiter in strategic locations, I mean, some of them actually made right-angle turns. It was not a comet.
Right.
This was literally an ignition of the planet Jupiter, which, as many of your listeners may know, is a gas giant. Jupiter really doesn't have any solid material. It's all gas, and some parts of it are liquid. And even now, about 15 years later, 14 years later, Jupiter is changing. We see it heating up. It's getting brighter. The red spot is changing and new spots are forming. We even notice that the moons around Jupiter are heating up. It has even had an effect on Saturn and the moons around Saturn. So basically, yes, they are creating a binary star system, which will recreate the binary star system in the Draco constellation, which is the origin of the Reptilian Empire. So basically, we are seeing the Illuminati recreate the home world star system from which they came. And my feeling is that they are recreating a new empire that will use the Earth as its base and capital, and then they will go out into the other star systems and start invading other spaces.
Now, in Montauk, The Alien Connection, you speak about a Draco invasion.
Yep.
Now, from what it sounds like, I'm trying to figure out if it's reptiles faking an invasion by reptiles. You know what I mean?
Well, that's very interesting, yes, because there is a staged alien invasion that is being planned for this planet. The last information I received on it is that that would become very well known by August of 2008. That was the last information I had. And we're seeing in the last couple of years and a lot this year, a lot of alien slash space information being given out on the conventional media.
Absolutely.
It's no longer something that's in the back rooms or conspiracy magazines. You see CNN and AOL reporting, you know, UFOs by airline pilots in the UK, these strange meteors that fell in South America. All this type of strange space information now is on conventional media.
And when I saw Fife Symington, the former governor of Arizona, come forward and say that craft he saw was otherworldly.
That's correct.
But before that, he was ridiculing the public and dressing his aide up as a gray.
Yes, I remember that. And now he's saying that he actually knows it came from somewhere else, not from this planet.
Yes.
And there's even an airline pilot who was camping out on a mountaintop near Phoenix at the time, who now comes forward and says that he saw the object up close and could see through the portals or windows in this object reptilian-looking beings.
Hmm.
And I believe that he is from quite a major airline. So he says his observations are based on his knowledge of aeronautics. So, yes, we're getting a lot of conventional confirmation of this now. I think we're going to see more and more of this through the autumn and winter of this year, and they'll start building and building through spring and summer so that by the end of next summer, they may very well say that there's some alien force out there which is trying to contact or actually attack the Earth. In that way, they create fear globally, and that can promote and help the formation or the acceptance of a global government publicly, because all the governments then would have to join together to fight this common enemy, which is what former President Reagan had said in 1988 at the UN.
Yes.
If the Earth was confronted by this alien force, that was a problem, that we'd all have to unite.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're seeing happening.
Yes. And strange enough, I'm one that is willing and even believes that our leaders are 50-50 reptiles. I look into their eyes, and I see no soul.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. They are quite devious. All of the leaders, of the United States and Britain, most of the Illuminati elite are related to one another in one way or another through history.
Right.
So they're basically one big family. Now, you know, when you throw a bunch of reptiles in a pit together, they don't help each other get out. They kind of fight and try to kill one another. So the Illuminati families do fight amongst each other, even though they have a common goal. So I think that our advantage is to go through the cracks in these fights where their agenda maybe has some loopholes in it, and that we can widen those gaps and try to take control for ourselves.
It's going to be an interesting struggle. Now, I'm right along with you on the mind pattern programming as far as us manifesting our own reality. It seems that that's our one hope in this scenario, is that perhaps we can get our brains around a peaceful idea.
Well, that's I say that humanity as a species has a victimization mentality. And that victimization mentality attracts tyrants and oppressors. So, honestly, we are responsible for what is happening on the Earth. Even though we may not be physically doing things to hurt other people, our mind patterns of victimization are allowing this to occur. So the work that I do is to teach people to release that victimization mentality so that there's no longer a need to have these kind of tyrants on the Earth. And, we must take responsibility. That's a big factor in humanity. My issue is when I look around and I see people and I travel globally, I'm kind of disappointed in the attitudes of the general public, because most of them just go along literally with the program. Whatever the news and their government tells them, that's what they follow. They're afraid to make changes. They're afraid to ask questions, and they wear blinders.
Absolutely.
And so it's a bit disappointing to see that people aren't motivated to make major changes.
Well, I tossed a video that came my way from YouTube with a Fox News reporter morphing into a reptile. And I tossed it out to my email list just to see what type of response. And I got some very, very angry responses.
Yes.
It's as if people would just fight tooth and nail to keep things the way they are.
Well, you know, most people, I find, are more interested in how much they're going to pay for gasoline, how they're going to pay their mortgage, what their title is at work. That's the kind of worries and concerns they have. They don't care who's in running the show in the government. They don't care what's going on in another part of the world. They're not concerned about volcanoes and earthquakes going off. They just care about what's going on in their own backyard, literally.
No doubt about that. Anytime I try to bring up any topic of worth, I find that it gets derailed over to just inanities. It's a difficult thing.
That's true. But you know, the government we have now and our fearless leader in the White House right now is really getting so extreme in action that I think that people are starting to say, hey, what the heck is going on?
This guy's crazy.
It's something's not right.
No, it's not.
You know, so but then the question is, even though they may have that realization, what are they going to do about it?
Right. And I believe that's where your hyperspace helper comes into hand. Because it's mostly in our heads that we must address this thing.
That's correct. The battle has to be inside our minds.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where it is. They want to create a robot society that doesn't question anything.
They've almost got it.
They pretty much do, you know. I mean, you go out there, especially if you're in the conservative area where I live, most people don't question what the government says. They just believe whatever's on the news because it's so much easier that way.
I think it'd be very difficult for you to share your stories with the common man. Your stories are quite amazing. I once was reading the Book of Enoch, and I fell asleep in the midst of it, and I had this very lucid dream of what looked to me like a giant vulture that landed down in front of me. But when it walked up to me, it was about 12 feet tall, two stories at least, and it started telling me the tale of it being one of these fallen angels and how they had wronged us, and how this one wanted to make things right. I often wonder about my roots. You see, my father's a Freemason that chased flying saucers for the government, built nuclear missiles, and was on the submarine with Jimmy Carter. My mom was Eastern Star, married to the Grand Potentate of German Freemasonry, and has met Walt Disney personally. So I wonder about my roots a lot, and how I started receiving these transmissions. I have things from my childhood that seem to show me things that I'm now starting to discover. I drew a picture when I was 10 that had symbols of Sirius from the Dogon tribe, and it had the reptilian, and it even had the craft that the Space Shuttle Columbia filmed during that tether experiment. And none of this was in my knowledge. But yet here I was, I still have the picture to this day. Can you tell us a little bit about your stories and things that have happened to you in this vein? Because I know that you've got some amazing tales.
I should tell the audience that my great uncle was the first president of the Soviet Union. And my grandfather was sent to this country to help start the Communist Party in the hopes of annexing the United States to the Soviet Union at some point. And my grandmother was a Soviet spy during World War II, but we have to remember that in World War II, Soviet Union and the United States were on the same side. And so I have that background in me. And my father worked in secret underground bases underneath El Paso in the 1950s, and was followed for many years after my birth by Secret Service agents. So my whole life has been one of subterfuge and what you would call espionage, if you will. So that's also been an issue all my life, and that is why when I was 13 years old, I was taken into a service in the Montauk Project, which was about mind control, genetic manipulation, and many esoteric experiments that involved time travel. And I wrote about that in my book, my autobiography, Montauk Alien Connection, that you mentioned earlier. And so I had spent a lot of my childhood in service to the government. I was also sent to be used by the Soviet government, the British, the Israelis, even the Germans at some times. I was sent all over the earth. In Montauk, what they did was to try to create a person who could see into other realities without the use of a device. Now, unfortunately, that left me physically blind. I could not see physical reality. All I could perceive was the energy fields about objects and living creatures, etc., which is how I do my work now. And it wasn't until 1999 that I actually had surgery to reconnect my optic nerves to my brain in a proper way so that I could also have physical sight again. So when I do my work, I now not only see the physical, but an overlay of the energy fields that emanate from the body. And so in Montauk Project, we were involved in connecting to an area of what they called hyperspace, which is pure mind, pure energy, instantaneous knowledge and awareness. And they wanted to understand how creation existed and what was underneath all of it. And that was what I now call the language of hyperspace, which is, in my opinion, the way God mind thinks. It is a color, tone, and archetype symbol, which, if you know how to use it correctly, can manifest physical reality in a way that you desire. Yeah. And that's what I teach in my classes. But I had many experiences at Montauk with alien beings and ritual events that occurred there. We also did time travel. I wrote in my books about my experiences being sent back to the time of Christ and seeing what that was about, being sent to the surface of Mars. Quite fascinating experiences, which were physically debilitating, but mentally enriching. And so when I came out of that in 1983, that's when the project crashed, it was kind of like being unplugged from electrical socket and you just collapsed. We estimate that there were approximately 300,000 people used in the Montauk Project between 1970 and 1983. And of that 300,000, less than 1% survived. And of that 1%, very few were able to function in society. And that's why I was an anomaly, because I was supposed to be dead. I wasn't supposed to be alive. I wasn't supposed to remember all these things. They didn't understand why the programming, even though it was in me, I still had conscious memory of what it was.
Hmm. Now, do you think this was due to your bloodline?
I think it has a lot to do with that, and I think it also has to do with other factors and other factions within the Illuminati that maybe wanted to sabotage their plan.
That's always been a big question of mine. I'm sitting here looking at all these evil magicians, and I'm wondering where the good ones are and how they're interrelating. I'm sure they keep themselves in secret.
Well, you know, the beings that have good intentions or benevolent intentions don't interfere, mm-hmm. because they understand about mind pattern and species mind patterns. And if they see a species that has attracted this, that species has to undo it themselves. Otherwise, they'll never learn how to live properly.
That's something I've always had a problem with, the story of Jesus coming back to rule us. You know, what will we learn if somebody just comes here and fixes everything for us?
Well, that's just that the story that you hear about Christ is not the accurate one. That person that was known as Emmanuel or Jesus was actually a creation. It was an alien creation that was designed to skewer humanity into a certain belief system for control purposes. And we're seeing now the government planning a staged second coming with a cloned Christ that will be genetically connected to the original one.
Wow. And that, that would probably explain why they're coming forward now saying that the Shroud of Turin is actually correct. And
right, right. And I've written about that because, as you remember, it was proven years ago to be a, or they said it was a hoax that was created in the Middle Ages. And then there was this fire in the Church of Turin, and the Shroud vanished. And then a few years later, all of a sudden, it reappeared, at least a part of it reappeared, in Hebrew University in Jerusalem, of all places. And then they said that tests on the Shroud showed that it contained pollen samples that were 2,000 years old and could have only come from the Middle East at that time. So, in effect, re-verifying the authenticity of the Shroud.
I think that was a UT professor, wasn't it?
Yes, and so now the blood sample that they have on the Shroud can be genetically tested so that if someone comes forward and says they're Christ and then they match the DNA from the Shroud to the DNA of this person, who's going to question that?
Right.
Just but that's like what we're up against in the near future.
Yeah, it seems like a mess. As I'm reading your books and you know, Blue Blood, True Blood, and the Montauk Alien Connection, and I'm finding, well, you know, here we've got this race from Sirius causing, well, not really causing the problems, but not helping a whole lot, offering technology to both sides.
Yeah, they're facilitating it all.
And, well, where is the escape in this? Is there ever going to be a way to transcend this mess?
Well, yeah, and you know, people always ask me that in lectures and seminars. And again, I go to the mind and I say the hope and the cure is within each one of us. If we reintegrate our own personalities, remove the mind control and programming, and find out who we really are, then none of this will have any effect on us.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Well, you know, I say if everyone in the world, all 6.6 billion people, woke up tomorrow morning and removed their victimization mentality, none of this would happen anymore. Now, is that a possibility? I think everything's a possibility. Is it likely? No, it's not likely.
No.
But I think it is possible. With time, if people learn about this and tell other people and teach this, then I think eventually it can reach a critical mass that will spill over to the rest of the population and undo this victimization.
Well, there have been some tools provided, however. You mentioned the crystal skull.
Right. I mentioned that in one of my books.
And how does that function? How can that help?
Well, for all intents and purposes, it is a physical creation designed to impart all the information and energy of God mind. It was not created here. There's no technology on this planet that could replicate it. And all attempts to copy the crystal skull are not successful. They're not perfect. So this is a technology from Sirius A. And it's kind of like giving the antidote while you give the poison at the same time.
Interesting.
So even though the Syrians were very much involved in providing the technology and modalities to control the Earth, they also provided a way for people to undo it if they knew the secret.
Right. So we've got these reptilians from somewhere no one knows.
Oh, Draco
Darcy. We've got these beings in Sirius just supplying technology to either side of the war.
Right.
Now, we've also got the Orions, and there is another. What about the Pleiades as well? Does this all interrelate with Earth politics?
Well, yes. You know, Earth politics, and that's really a very, very strange subject because, in my opinion, politics as we know it is just for public consumption. I mean, really, you don't vote for anybody. You think you might vote, but I tell people that you get a better result in pressing the lever in your toilet bowl than you do in pressing the lever in an election machine.
No doubt about that. Do you want Skull and Bones A or Skull and Bones B?
Right. I mean, because at least on your toilet bowl, you know where that's going.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to the election booth, it's probably not even hooked up.
Right.
You know?
Why bother?
Yeah. So it's just a big scam on the public, you know, and the last two presidential elections basically were proof of that.
Yes.
So as far as politics is concerned, I think that's just for show.
Okay.
I think that there is a government behind the public government that's really running everything. And now that secret government is becoming the public government, and with the president we have now.
Right.
And most, if not all, of Congress and Senate are aware of it. And they know that if they say anything, they're going to lose their position. So here again, people are afraid, even at that level, of losing their power.
And now, almost all of these men have been through the rituals of the Freemasons.
Yes.
And now, would you mind talking any about being a vessel?
Well, sure. Basically, it involves being sexually opened up so that the energy of the body can then incorporate a lower astral entity. So in effect, the person in the ritual becomes what they call the vessel, which contains the astral entity. And then the participants in the ritual perform sexual acts with that vessel in order to get the energy of the entity.
Hmm.
And that is a very common ritual for the Illuminati.
And that ends up involving a bit of blood, too, I imagine.
Yes, because what happens then is the vessel becomes sanctified because it has incorporated this astral entity. And very often at the end of the ceremony, the vessel is sacrificed so that the blood and hormones of that person, now infused with the energy of the astral god, can be consumed by the participants in the ritual.
Wow.
And then they gain the energy that way. Yeah, and that is a very mild version that I'm describing to you about the kind of rituals that go on. Many of these rituals are quite complicated and intricate and involve a lot of abuse of every kind.
It's hard to think that beings could do that to other beings, but that comes from a human perspective.
Right, and you know, that's the whole thing, because from the Illuminati perspective, they're doing what they consider God's work.
I've thought that at times.
You know, because when you, I look at it from a reptilian perspective. If you are an androgynous reptilian being, you know, no sexual identity, completely neutral, to them, that means they are more like God mind than human beings. Because human beings have to be sexually differentiated, whereas in non-physical reality, there is no differentiation like that, so they feel they're more advanced. Plus, reptilian genetics, over time, stays pretty much the same. It doesn't change, whereas mammalian genetics has to adapt through evolution over time. So from the reptilian viewpoint, they feel superior because they don't have to change, and they consider mammalians inferior because they constantly have to adapt.
Right.
So their agenda is to go through the universe and dominate and assimilate all these so-called inferior creatures in order to organize the universe for God mind. That's what they feel is the correct thing to do.
Right. And now many of their rituals and their sacrifices are done to very specific astronomical dates or symbols.
Yes.
Is there a timeline that you know of? Is there something major coming here real soon?
Well, you know, everybody talks about that 2012 date,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, in the Mayan calendar, there were several cataclysm or ending dates over their history, but people need to realize that those dates or cataclysms were closely associated with the sunspot or solar activity. And we are now in a very major solar event. And it's in an 11-year cycle, which will have reached a crescendo in 2012. So the government has used this as a mind control or programming icon to create fear in the population so that between now and then they can impose certain rules and regulations that will, in the people's opinion, mitigate the damaging effects. But really, 2012 to the Illuminati is their agenda for completing their complete domination of the Earth. It has nothing to do with the end. The Earth won't end in 2012.
Right, of course not.
Right.
No, just the way of life will change.
Correct. The way we know it.
Now, with these massive solar eruptions, which were 300 times what any of the scientists had predicted, at the same time, they're developing technology like HARP and shooting ultra-low frequency waves up into the ionosphere.
Yes.
What do you think about HARP?
Well, you know, HARP has many functions now. It is designed, as you mentioned, to go into the ionosphere and create a shield or electronic shield around the Earth. Has two effects. It keeps what's on the Earth in, and it keeps outside things out. So it's basically creating a force field. It's being enhanced by the chemtrails that you see pretty much every day out there, which is creating it's creating a web around the Earth that enhances the ionosphere control shield. So, and also descends viruses and bacteria to the Earth, which is really what's going on as far as species being killed and people being changed. It has nothing to do with global warming. There really is no global warming. That is another scam on the public to create fear. In fact, I was very happy to see on the news recently that a high court judge said that Al Gore has no permission to distribute his Inconvenient Truth movie to schools because he found 9 glaring scientific errors that he wants Gore to explain.
Wait a minute. He's going to get the Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, it's, you know, the one old boy smacking the back of the other old boy.
No doubt about that.
You know, the Nobel Peace Prize is meaningless, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, all of those are.
Definitely being facetious there.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the funniest thing is when Gore said that he in the movie he showed 4 polar bears that drowned in the Arctic Sea because the ice had melted and they couldn't reach the other side. That wasn't true. Those polar bears were caught up in a storm that swamped them with water and they drowned. It had nothing to do with ice.
Yeah. Yeah, when he came out and used that crane to lift himself up to make one point, I was like, oh yeah, this guy cares. You know, if you really cared about the environment, you wouldn't use all this crane to make a single point. I mean, that one just blew my mind.
Right. Well, you know, he's also very reptilian.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I see that.
I mean, even his last name is a dead giveaway.
Yeah, right. So, you talked about a craft that had followed Hale-Bopp and his station behind the moon.
Yes.
We've got these reptilians coming in, and they're stationed already. This has already been a number of years.
Yeah.
What are they waiting on?
Yeah. Well, they are waiting for the subterranean bases to open up. Now, here's something people should realize, and this is what I was told in Montauk years and years ago. We were told back in the 70s that when the volcanoes start to go off, that is the opening of the reptilian bases underneath these mountains that have been in suspended animation for eons of time. And that's what they're literally blowing out the tubes so that these bases can be opened up.
Wow.
Back in December of 2004, both CNN and AOL on their news services said, And also the BBC reported that, yes, there was a second moon that was stationed behind our current moon.
Really?
And they said that they weren't sure if it was a recent addition or if it has always been there, but yes, absolutely, there was another moon there. So they point blank stated it, and then as usual, they make an announcement, and then within a few days, they drop the information, and it's not there anymore.
I've often thought this was part of the ritual, that they would have to get our own free will acceptance to these things, and so then they put them out to us to allow us to agree, even if it's in a movie or something, and then we agree to it, and then it goes forward. It seems as if there's a free will barrier that must be crossed.
That's correct, because that's their legal out. If they can always say, well, we told you what we were going to do. You know, here it was, a little blurb, you know, in the back of the newspaper. It's not our fault you didn't see it.
Right.
You know, and if you ever watch CNN when they have that moving news sentences underneath the screen, sometimes if you watch carefully, there'll be some kind of really good information out there, and you'll go, wow, they actually said that, and then you'll never see it again. It was just that one time that they release it, and then that's it.
Right.
So you have to really, that's why I pay attention to those things, not because I like to watch the news, because I want to see what they're putting out there.
I did a little connection with the Anna Nicole Brittany and mind control story, and in it I have a bunch of the CNN reports during the Anna Nicole scenario, and I started watching the little ticker around the bottom, and the things that pop up at just the right moment are amazing. I've watched it so many times now, just watching the ticker instead of the actual.
Right.
So, I see what you're saying. Do you think that there's a spiritual aspect to that free will, us giving up our free will?
Yeah, I think that to them, they want to believe that we are acquiescing to their superiority. And so they will have all of their agenda posted somewhere for, you know, if you want to look at it, and if you don't want to look at it, it's not their fault. And then they can always have this legal / cosmic out that says, yes, so we did ask them and show them, and they agreed.
They totally agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Hollywood is so evil at this time.
Well, it's always
you're right.
You know?
You're right.
And so, yeah, I worked in Hollywood a number of years, and I've had a lot of clients in that industry. I still do. And they will point blank tell you about the rituals that they attend.
Really?
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I've gone to so many Hollywood parties, and they come up to me, and they just tell me, you know, what they're doing and who they're doing. And that kind of thing. It's just really a question of manipulation and control.
Right.
Has nothing to do with talent, because believe me, in my opinion, most of those people out there have no talent.
Yeah.
It's just a question of they have the right genetics to be an icon for the public.
Well, that would explain Keanu Reeves.
Sorry. Among others, yes.
Yeah. One day I was watching and I see Sammy Davis Jr. on there with Dean Martin and Elvis Presley, and I was like, oh my God, they're all Satanists on TV.
Yeah.
CNN, oh, I mean, it's just an endless tirade of, and it's like they've got us to this point where we see them so often we start to think that that's normal.
Well, correct. Absolutely correct. And you'll see, as soon as one of these famous people does something like Britney Spears shaving her head, all her followers shave their head.
Right.
And if she gets a tattoo, they get a tattoo. That's mind control. That's programming. She becomes their leader, their icon.
Absolutely.
And so it's quite scary what's out there.
Yeah, especially when you realize it's intentional, too, that these girls are Kabbalists and that they are practicing ritual magic.
That's not
something that they're just, you know, happen to be involved in, they know.
Oh, absolutely. They do. You can't get that high up without knowing what you're doing and what's going on.
Yeah. And that's why Madonna's heading down to Israel to go pray on graves.
Well, you see, that's a big setup now for the New World Religion that will be imposed.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, if Madonna follows that, then everyone else should.
Right.
You know? And interesting about Tom Cruise building that $11 million shelter under his house in Colorado,
right,
in preparation for alien invasion.
Yes. The Scientologists
are very interesting.
They're an interesting bunch as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right here in Austin, we've got Scientology, we've got OTO, we've got the Temple of Set, we've got Masons, and it's just an amazing city to be in as far as knowing these things.
Well, yes, and I remember I had done a seminar there a number of years ago, and I was quite amazed at the type of groups that are out there.
Well, Aleister Crowley's handwritten works are contained right here at the UT campus.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, we don't really have time to get to Aleister. We'll take that up maybe when we get to talk again next time.
Okay.
Is there something that you would like to impart in these last few minutes that we have that we didn't get to?
Well, I'd like the audience to know that in the next few weeks to few months, they're going to see a lot of things on the news that might be very frightening to them. But I want them to keep in mind that everything they're witnessing is staged for their benefit. Don't believe what you see on the news. It's not what you are told that it is.
Absolutely.
And really do the work to reintegrate your own personality, your own mind, and release your victimization mentality. Visit my website, expansions.com, and see what we have to offer on that.
Yes. Absolutely. It's a wonderful website. Your books are absolutely wonderful. I enjoyed every minute of them.
Thank you.
I'm really glad that we got to speak.
Yes, I appreciate the opportunity.
And maybe we can do it again next season.
I would love to.
All right. Well, we're going to have Janet on the 15th.
Oh, that's great.
So
She'll be great.
Well, thank you very much, Stuart, for joining us.
Okay.
And I hope... I hope we've helped some people.
I hope that we have, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
Fantastic.
All right.
All right. Talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
Well, very, very interesting man. I highly recommend checking out his books, but you better suspend your disbelief because you're not going to believe a word he says if you're stuck in a rigid paradigm. I myself have been through so many odd scenarios. I've had green fireballs fly over my head. I've had... a giant flying rectangle land in front of me while I lost 5 hours of time. And then just last month, a flying boomerang went over my head. I've talked about my family connections and all of these other things that go along. This planet is not what you think it is. This box that you're seeing me in is not giving you the truth, except for perhaps on shows like these. And you are being led astray, so please do not react. When you see these scenarios, had you known 911 was going to occur, you would have reacted totally different. I have a prediction now for 10/13, which is this Saturday, and it involves the White House, because the Pentagon and the Twin Towers both had Masonic cornerstones on 911, ceremonies on 911, and now I find that the White House had its on 10/13, and this is the ritual date of the death of the Templars, so please... don't overreact.